Did you miss church this weekend? Was the sermon so good you wanted to hear it again? Welcome to the Hope Tri-Cities Sermon Podcast.
Hey, usually we know when something is alive, right? Usually you know if an animal's alive, like a dog, it barks, it wags its tail, it moves around, it does things, right? Usually when you look at a person, you know that they're alive, right? They smile at you, they talk, they're upright, talking, walking, doing all those things. But I think something that is more common than we think is we think that something is alive when it is actually dead. I want you to think about that for a second. For example, freshly cut flowers, are they alive or are they dead? I think it depends, right? I think, okay, I know some people are like, well, actually, technically, and they're gonna like go like this. I see you doing that over there. Sometimes trees are standing up and you think they're alive, and sometimes there's color on them, but they're dead. How about a chicken with its head cut off? Is it alive or dead? It's dead, right? But it's running around, right? There's some things that look like they're alive, but they're dead. Relationships sometimes. I don't want to get depressing on y'all, but like sometimes relationships or marriages, sometimes they're dead. They might look alive because there might be one person who's doing all the work trying to do this thing to make it work, and they might not even know this, but it might be dead because the other person's done and detached, right? It happens with organizations and businesses. They might look like they're alive. It looks like they're running business and doing the thing, but they're dead. There's this business a long time ago called Blockbuster. How many of you guys remember Blockbuster? Some of you guys do this. Some young people have no clue what Blockbuster is. So let me help you remember what Blockbuster is. For those of us in here who are chronologically superior to the rest of you, right? So the young people, I heard that a pastor call it that a while back, and it just cracked me up. But I just want to let you guys know, some of the young people in here, what hardship we have gone through, right? I want to let you know, right? So long time ago, when you want to watch a movie, right, not in a theater, you would drive to the store, and right now you can go on Netflix and Amazon Prime and all these different things, you can just stream it real quick, right? Well, back in the day, you'd have to go to this store that, it looks like a store, but you walk into this place, and there's all these little rectangles everywhere, and they have labels on them with the movie names that you want to watch, and so you go up to the, you pick one out, you go up to the counter, and then you pay them money so you can borrow this rectangular thing. It's called a VHS, right? It's a video home system. You take it home and you put it inside of another bigger rectangle, and then you push a button that has a triangle on it, it's a play button, and it starts to play the movie, right? Sometimes, check this out, sometimes those people did not rewind the movie because you had to rewind it. I know this is gonna be hard for some of you, but like you have to rewind the movie. If you didn't rewind the movie, you gotta pay a fee if you don't rewind the movie. So you push the rewind button, you have to wait a long time, like 1 or 2 minutes for it to rewind back. I know, this is why we're tough. Us older people, we're tough, all right? Anyway, I don't even know, I kind of went off on this company. It was dead long before the owners realized it. Because there's new trends, new things happening. There's things that there was new technology that was happening, and so they did not catch on. They didn't care about it because they had a pretty solid clientele base. But pretty soon, if they would have made a few adjustments, they would still be in operation. You start having things like Redbox. I don't know if you guys know what Redbox is. You go to this vending machine, and you pay money to borrow a CD, like a DVD thing, and then you stick. Do you guys know what? You guys still use DVDs?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Good. People, you know, pretty soon we have internet speeds that are faster than 2, right? 2 kilobytes. I don't know how fast things are right now, but people, you know, now we can stream videos. Well, Blockbuster never caught on, and so they were dead long before they realized it. There's only one Blockbuster. There was over 20,000 locations. There's only one location left. It's in Portland. Just one spot. Some things are dead, but they still look alive. Right? Some things are dead, but they still look alive. Here's the thing. Churches fall in the same category. Sometimes churches look like they're alive, but they're dead. Today we're talking about the dead church. Everyone say dead church.
Dead church.
Okay, sounds depressing, right? But I do believe that there's a word of encouragement here for us this morning. I think God wants to continue to pull us up towards himself. We've been walking through a section of scripture in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where it talks about the seven churches. We're a series called Seven Churches. And these are messages from Jesus to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And we're learning so far that these messages are not just for the church back then, but they're for us today. They're relevant for us today. And so in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we're going to be looking at this dead church that Jesus calls it. So let me read the text to you, and then we'll get started. Here's what it says. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some of you in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in whites. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my God and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand that what he is saying to the churches. Let me pray. Father, thank you that we get to hear your word. We're able to worship you freely. Thank you that you are constantly beckoning us and wooing us and pulling us towards yourself. I pray, God, that as we just sit here today, as we listen and as we get to know some people, meet some people this morning, Lord, I pray that there be a soft conviction that moves us towards you, that continually moves us towards you, Father. Give us soft hearts and open minds. Help us to see you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, before I get started, I want to make a few comments about this past week. We had the whole election thing. I know some people don't like politics and people talking about politics, but I think it's important for us to just address really quickly. Most of you know me or been here for a little while. You know how I look at things. As Christians, we're not to be seduced by political division. So you've heard me talk about this stuff. We don't stand on either side of the fence, if you will, and we don't try and straddle it. That gets uncomfortable. Have you ever sat on a fence? It's uncomfortable, right? But as Christians, we get above it all. We do get above it all. We pray for our nation. We pray for people, and we contend for what is biblical as what is expressed through the prophets, that we're called to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly before the Lord. With that said, there are people that are really happy for what happened this week, and there's some people that are having a really hard time this week. And I just want to say, as Christians, here's how we operate through this. One is we be mature, right? It's okay to celebrate. If you feel like, man, I'm really glad with this turnout, which I know some of us are, it's okay to celebrate, but don't gloat. Right? Don't gloat. Be an adult, right? Be a unifier. Ephesians 4 talks to us about that. Be a peacemaker. Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 5. Let's not lose lifelong relationships over short-term leaders, right? Right? So we be adults. Number two is give thanks. There's a lot of different reasons to give thanks. And Jesus tells us, God tells us to give thanks in all situations. So if things didn't go your way or things did go your way, we still give thanks. We celebrate what's going on. Some of you guys thought about long and hard in regards to these policies and platforms and different things. I know you prayed for some of these things, but and we just continue. We give thanks. We celebrate. Even if things don't go our way or if things are going our way, right? Give thanks. Right, we're pursuing justice. We're pursuing the goodness for the country. Like, let's celebrate these things. And number three, we pray. God tells us in 1 Timothy to pray for the nation and to pray for leaders. Okay, so we continue to pray. Again, you've heard me say this. There's no political leader, no platform, no policies are perfect. So we pray for wisdom and protection and direction in their lives, and we continue to pray that they find who Jesus is and they walk with Jesus, right? And we pray for, but above all this, we pray for something that is infinitely greater than policies and politics and all that. And we pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit in people's lives. Amen. That's what we pray for. Amen. Right? Thank you. And lastly, we push towards God's purpose in our life. We continue, like some people got distracted and they're over here looking at this stuff, and God's calling us to walk in the purpose that he's given us. Political leaders will come and go, good seasons will come and go, bad seasons will come and go, but nothing will save us other than the power of God through Jesus Christ, amen. Right? So we can continue to push toward the things that God is calling us. So we pray for a move of God in people's lives, and we work to that end, amen? Amen, awesome, okay. Just, can we put that behind us for the next couple of years? All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Sardis. What is going on in the city of Sardis? This city has got about 100,000 people. Some people thought it was about 60,000. Other people thought it was somewhere around 100,000 people. And this church is active. This church, as Jesus says, it's active. It's doing a lot of things. They've got a lot of committee meetings. They're strategizing. They're organized. They have sound doctrine. They celebrate the sacraments. They're doing pretty. They look like a healthy church. This church in Sardis. Someone texted me and said, they know that we're talking about this today, and said, are the people who lived in Sardis called sardines? And I thought it was kind of funny and cute. But this church, the parking lot is full. And it's indication that this is a healthy church. It was the largest church of the seven churches. The church of in Sardis was the largest church. But Jesus says this, I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. You are dead. Jesus is arguably the only person who could say something like this, because he knows every person's spiritual makeup of that church. He knows every single person. He knows where they're at. And he goes, I know what you do. And you have a reputation for being alive, but you're asleep. He says, wake up. So as we look at this, I think a question that might come up, you might be asking yourself, okay, how does this relate to me? How does this relate to us? Well, first off, you and I are the church. We are the church. Look to someone and say, you are the church. Right? We don't go to church. Church is not an event. We might be gathering at the same place at the same time, but you and I, we're the church. People will sometimes tell me, Pastor Angel, I really like your church. And I ask them, are you talking about the building, or what are we talking about here? Because the buildings are important. It's a good tool to have, right? But you are the church. And if you say that you're a part of this church, if this is your church, then these are your people, these are your family, this is your tribe. Like, we are communing together. This is the church. And this is the context from which the Bible refers to us. God is trying to elevate us in the way that we commune together. And he's placing a greater accountability in our involvement and our engagement. And the greater our, and as we walk this out, man, there's a synergy that happens. I almost said syncretism. That's not a good word. There's a synergy that happens, and it allows us to do the things that God is calling us to do. For example, like when, how many of you guys have little kids or had little kids at some point? There's a bunch of us. Okay, some of you don't have kids, but it's okay. When you have a family and you sit down for dinner and you say, we're going to eat dinner, but then your little child says, no, I'm going to go eat in my room, what do? You tell them, no, you're gonna sit down, little guy. You know, you're not going to go to your room. Right, there's expectations, right? And God says there are expectations that we have as a family of God, that we're walking together, we're doing things together. And so I say this because it relates to us as what Jesus is saying. He's calling the church, us. He's calling the church, us, as a whole and as individuals up. And he's using this message to the church in Sardis to exhort us and encourage us as a church and as individuals. Now, I'm not saying that we are a dead church, right? There might be aspects of in our lives and as individuals that we've closed off to God. There might be certain places where we're just kind of walking through the motions. There may be areas that we're like, I don't know, I'm just checking the boxes. How many of you guys ever done that before? A lot of us have. I have. What I'm saying is there is more that God wants you to receive from him and how to live in his family as we walk out in faith. He's wanting to add more to our faith. So the main idea this morning is this. If you're taking notes or just grab your phone and snap pictures, don't just look alive. Wake up to all that God has made you to be. Don't just look alive. Wake up to all that God has made you to be. Last week, I told you that good sermons have acronyms and like 3 points, right? If you guys were here, I told you that. I said a really good sermon, the best sermons have an acronym and 3 points. Well, today I don't have an acronym and I have 13 points. So, so buckle up, buttercup. Don't worry, I'll get you guys out of here in time, okay? I'm gonna try and encapsulate those 13 points into 2 big points, and then we'll kind of break it down, but we'll start with this. And I've said this often, if you're not growing daily, you're dying gradually. If you're not growing daily, you're dying gradually. Jesus gives us 5 commands in this text that says he's pushing us, he's encouraging us to grow daily. He says this in verse 2 and 3, he says, wake up, there's one, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. And then he says, go back to what you heard and believed at first, hold to it firmly, and he says, repent and turn to me again. Those are 5 things that he tells us. So I'm gonna talk about those really quickly and then we'll move on to the next point, okay? Actually, this part's gonna take longer than those are 5 points. Those 5 points are gonna take longer than the 9 points that are remaining, or 8 points, sorry, that are remaining. My wife is just like, oh gosh, Angel. Okay, the first one, ready? Everyone say, wake up. How many of you guys like to be woken up abruptly? No one does, okay, but Jesus is saying, wake up, let's go, okay? Our temptation will always be to gravitate towards comfort and safety and just kind of drag our feet. Jesus says, wake up, but the translation misses it a little bit. What the author is trying to say is keep on being watchful. Right, the devil wants us to be comfortable and wants us to stay with this desire of convenience and ease. The idea that everything will be okay and easy because God loves me and wants the best for me is not right. Unfortunately, it's not correct. It's a very poor observation of the gospel. He's calling us to be pulled out of being lulled in this comfort and then this kind of slumber. And he's wanting us to walk in obedience and surrender. And sometimes that's uncomfortable and it's difficult. Let's not be like the church in Sardis. Here's the thing, the church in Sardis was not facing any difficult issues or very many difficult issues. Christians were not being attacked or persecuted. And that suggests to us that the church had fallen asleep to the darkness in the city. Right, they were silently accommodating themselves to immorality of the city and sexual norms of the city. One commentator said this, and he argues that church in Sardis is a lot like the American church. He says this, that the reason why the American church has not been effective in evangelism is that far too many disciples of Jesus are trapped in secret sexual sin. And I agree with that. Close to 70%, around 68% of men engage in pornographic material. And I want to bring that, I just want to clarify this, is that this includes Christian men. Like the stat doesn't change. So we have a problem, right? And I don't say this to shame anyone or bring condemnation. God loves us, men. He loves all of us. He wants freedom for us and wholeness for us. There is hope and there is help. The problem is that 85% of the men that struggle with this don't say anything. They just kind of think, oh, this is who I am, or they're not even bothered that it's a thing. 85% of the Christian men, they don't say anything. And I want to say, let's fight that. Let's push against darkness, right? Let's talk. Find my email online and let's do something about this, right? I'm thinking about starting a group in January toward that end. I want to help. God wants freedom and wholeness for us. Right, same issue with ladies. It's around 35 to 40% of women struggle with this. There's help. Jennifer is here from Celebrate Recovery. Can you wave everybody real quick? Jennifer leads Celebrate Recovery. Give her a hand. Find her. Find our stuff on Celebrate Recovery online and reach out for help. Here's the thing. The church in Sardis was not being persecuted because it wasn't a threat. Think about that. It wasn't a threat. They were comfortable. And Jesus says, wake up. Number two, Jesus says, strengthen what remains. And Jesus saw that there was forms and structures within the church that could potentially help people connect with Jesus. And he says, strengthen those things. It's kind of like when you go to the gym. If you go to the gym, you know some gym guys who only work out their upper bodies. Have you seen those guys? What do you say? Like homie forgot leg day, right? He forgot leg day, right? And Jesus is saying, man, you forgot leg day, and it's so bad. It's so bad that I just want you to work on the upper body because this is terrible. Strengthen what remains is what he's saying. He's saying, strengthen what you can have. The other stuff, my goodness, we should just cut those off. That's what he's saying. Just cut them off. They're that bad. How many of you guys know a leg day? I miss leg day guy. There's a few of them. Can you point them in this room? Just kidding. Don't do that. The church was organized in such a way that, again, it might allow for some people to connect with them. And he says, strengthen that. Cut out all the other things that are not helping you grow. So a question that comes up for me as I read this and I look at this, is what we're doing as a church, is it set up to draw people closer to him? Our groups and the things that we're doing on a weekly basis, daily basis, Sundays, does our Sunday service help people draw closer to Jesus? If not, then what the heck are we doing? I don't want to play church. I don't want us to waste our, I don't want you to waste your time. I don't want us to waste our time. So I need help from you. Can you guys help me real quick? There's those connect cards that Troy was talking about. Can you grab a connect card and show it to me real quick? Grab a connect card. Something. I just need you to find something to write on. Prayer card. Connect card, prayer card. Okay, grab one. And I want you to complete this statement. In regards to Hope Tri-Cities, this church, and you may be new. You're like, I don't know. I've never been here before, but maybe you can help us answer this. Finish this statement. This is what is helping me draw closer to Jesus in regards to our church. It could be our Sunday service. It could be work groups. It could be people. It could be someone's smile. What is that for you? And you don't have to. I'm going to watch you until every single one fills it out right now. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But again, if we're just playing church, man, if we're just going to something that makes us feel good, then what is the point? If we're going to something that doesn't cause us to walk in the things that God is calling us towards, if we're not saying, man, I'm regularly repenting of my sin, or I feel regularly that there's a transformation happening in my life, if we don't have any of those things, then what is the purpose? So write that out. Actually, you know what? You can also write if there's things that are distracting you that we do as a church. I want to hear that too. So I want feedback. What's distracting you? Help us to know that. Put your name on it. Contact information. I don't want some anonymous complainers out there. I want to know who's complaining, and I want to talk. I want clarity. So it's important to know this. I don't want conflict for the sake of conflict. I think sometimes it is a little fun, just to be honest. But I think it helps us grow. Amen. So help me. Will you help me? Only three people said yes over here. Over here. Yes. Oh, someone gave me a dirty look over here on this side. Just kidding, okay. Jesus says, focus on the things that are helping you grow and strengthen those things. And so I think a question for us to ask ourselves is, what am I doing on a daily basis that's helping me strengthen my walk with Jesus and my devotion to Jesus? And what are the things that are causing me not to? And what do I gotta cut out? And Jesus, he's calling us to take inventory of our lives and make adjustments. We don't just check the boxes and go through our day, right? So number three, remember what you received. Look at someone and say, remember what you received. Okay, in the text that we read, it said, go back to what you heard. Translated, if you look at it in different ways, actually transliterated correctly, it's remember what you received. And what Jesus is talking about, he says, I sent you the Holy Spirit. Remember that. When we read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, he says, hey, when I'm gone, I'm going to send you a helper. When I leave this place, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, and we did. When he left 50 days later after after Passover at Pentecost, Pente means 50, 50 days after that, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit. And you read in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching, he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you see this over and over again throughout the New Testament. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And the way that Jesus introduces himself in this message to the church in Sardis, he says, this is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. He's saying that, hey, when he talks about the sevenfold Spirit, he's not talking about seven different spirits. The sevenfold symbolizes fullness. And Jesus is saying, I want to remind you that you received the fullness of God, the fullness of his Spirit, not just part of it. Here's the thing, sometimes we forget that we have all of heaven at our disposal. And we try to do things all on our own. We say, I got this, God. I'm gonna figure this out. I got this. I know what you want from me, but I don't need any help from you, God. I can figure this out. I got no problems, I got my routines, and I'm doing all the little things that I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm good. Or sometimes we say, man, we get frustrated when things are not working out, and we say, God, man, I've been doing good. I've been following all your rules and doing all the things that you asked me to do, but I don't see a blessing from you. And the whole time Jesus is standing back saying, well, you never included me. I want to be walking with you in this. It's not about you doing it on your own. And Paul reminds us in Ephesus in the letter to the Ephesian church, he says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We have everything that we need when we're connected with him. That's what he wants, is connection with us. He is the vine and we are the branches, and we can do nothing apart from him. Right? I think that kind of offends people. Like, there's nothing of importance that you and I will ever do if we're operating apart from him. We received his Spirit. We received his promises. We received his word, his truth, his strength, his hope, his joy, his rest, his seal of approval, his anointing in our lives. We receive all these things. And sometimes we forget it. We operate as if none of those things exist. We have to go back to what we heard. We have to remember what we received. Number four, he says, keep it. Once we've opened our lives to Jesus and to his Spirit, it's not just a one and done thing in receiving the things that he has for us. We got to keep on and keep going, keep asking God, fill me with your Spirit. Continue to pour your Spirit upon my life. I want to do your will, not my will. And so I need your direction in my life. Because I know that if I'm walking in your will, I will encounter your presence, and that's where you want me to be. And that's this fullness of joy in that spot. In your presence, there's freedom. In your presence, there's joy and peace and wisdom. Right? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He wants to bring us freedom. Right? And the last thing Jesus says, the last commandment he says is repent. We talked about repentance last week. We talked about how it means to, we turn away from our sinful behaviors, things that hurt others, things that hurt ourselves, or things that hurt God, and we turn away from those things, and we run full on toward God. Repentance. So those are the five things. If you're not growing daily, you're dying gradually. And as we look at this, again, going back to the main idea is, don't just look alive, wake up to all that God made you to be. As we look at this, we see it building here. He's bringing some commandments that help us grow. And now here we're going to look at some vital signs as to what it looks like to be a something that is alive spiritually. Okay, these next 9 or 8 sub-points that we have here. I know, so how many of you are afraid that I'm not going to finish in the next 10 minutes with that? Just 2 or 3. Okay, good. Some of you guys, who's confident that I got this? There we go. Let's go. Okay. So then the next sub point is this. Be all that God made you to be. Look to someone and say, be all that God made you to be. You got to think, I want you to come alive. He's saying, I want you to allow my spirit to breathe life into you. Here's the truth. Who do you think is the most frustrated, unhappy person on the planet? Don't be mean. I know some of you are like wanting to say something. Okay. You know who the most frustrated and unhappy person on the planet is? A Christian who is halfway in and halfway out. A Christian who wants to live like the world, but also wants to be a Christian. Those are the most unhappy, frustrated people on the planet. God says, be all that God made you to be. You gotta be all in. So this next section with 9 points, 8 points. I don't know why I keep trying to include 9 points. Okay, 8 points. You're going to help me. Okay, we have some medical staff in here. Who's nursing, doctors? There's a couple. 1, 2, 3. There's a few over here. Okay, you're parents with Band-Aids. How many got that? Awesome. We're fully staffed. Okay, what are the most important vital signs that a person needs to have in order to be alive? Heartbeat. What else? Pulse, got it. Okay, what else? Brain. Someone's breathing. Okay, that's a good one. What else? Brain waves. What else? What is it? Blood pressure. Body temperature. Now this guy is frozen. He's not alive, right? Those are important. Okay, how many of us want to have some of those vital signs happening? I think every hand should be up, right? Right? How many of you, that's the bottom line, that's all you want in your life? No. How many of you say, I want to be healthy? Just a few of you? Who wants to be healthy? Let me see that. There you go. Thank you. You finally raised your hand. Okay. We want to be healthy, right? Okay, so what are the signs of healthy people? So all those things plus what else? Smiling, happiness, joy, purpose. You gotta speak up. Energy, love. To be accepted. Physical fitness. Okay, that's my. You doing leg day too, bro? You got leg day going? No? Okay. You gotta do leg day, man. All right. No, you're doing leg day. Okay. What else? Physical. Good night's sleep. You're eating clean. You got good hygiene, right? What else? Jesus.
Nice teeth.
Nice, good hygiene, nice teeth. There we go. Brush your teeth, dang it. You got disciplines, right? You're not using harmful substances. You got dreams and you got goals. You're well hydrated. We got all these things, right? There are parallels with physical, like health, and spiritual vital signs that are healthy. as individuals of the church and the church, okay? There are vital signs of a healthy church. And I'm gonna give you these right now. Are you guys ready? I got 0 seconds left. Actually,
you're taking more time.
No, I'm gonna do it. Look back there, guys. This is what I have to look at every time. Big red letters saying that. Actually, I have time. We were done at 11:05 or 6, right? All right, Armin. Armin's like, ah. Suckers throwing me under the bus. Okay, where does spiritual life start? It's when we confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Right? That's where spiritual life starts. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? You hear me say this. Everyone wants a Savior, but who actually wants a Lord? Right? Some of us, we want to be saved, but man, do we want someone telling us what to do? And do we want to fully surrender? Do we want to walk under submission? Christians don't want that, but fully alive, or not, excuse me, some Christians don't want that, but fully alive Christians do. We're saying, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to walk with you. You're my king. I'm surrendered to you. Second one is, we're finding identity in Christ. We don't find our identity in success or ability or how smart you are or how good looking you are, our sexuality, our gender, political affiliation, who's our friends, all these. We don't find identity in any of those things. We find our identity in Jesus. Right? Romans 8 says this, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So our identity is in Jesus. And there's so many passages in scripture that I'm just hitting one right now. Every single one of these 8 points that I have, we can do a whole sermon on each one of those. I want you guys to do some homework and start digging, okay? Start digging. Proverbs 25 says that it is a glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is a glory of kings to discover them. So he sees us as royalty. Let's go find what he's hiding for us. Right? God, what he's trying to do, this is a little sub point, what God is trying to do in our lives is, it's kind of like when, and we talked about this in my Bible study this past week, is he loves to play hide and go seek with us, right? And when we got little kids, when we had little kids, and we'd play hide and go seek, I wouldn't fully hide because they probably wouldn't find me. I would hide in such a way that I'm sticking out my toe or my leg or my head or my butt or something. And they're like, hey, I found, and they giggle, and then I giggle a little bit so you can kind of turn in the direction where I'm hiding. And then they'd come and find me, and there was this joy that would happen, right? God wants us to discover these things. So I'm giving you homework to do. Go do it, okay? So the next one is, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says to the Galatian church, he says, when you follow the desire of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger and selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Big list. If you dig down in the Greek as well, it says if you're fans of the 49ers or Dallas Cowboys, it's also terrible, terrible for you. It's a terrible place to be. Okay. that's what I like about being up here. You guys can't really say anything. It's all right. But here's the important part. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And then he goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another to be jealous of one another. Okay, do we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? You can tell when someone is trying to work this stuff out on their own without God. I've heard people say, and I've done this too. I said, I'm really working on patience right now. How many of you guys have done that before? Have said that before? I'm being self-controlled. I'm working on these things. God says, I'm giving you the whole basket all at once. The whole fruit basket is yours. When we're walking it with Jesus and we're saying, I want your spirit in my life, he says, you're gonna start experiencing the fruit of the spirit, which is all those things at once. Sometimes we try to do it on our own. He's producing that work, he's producing the evidence of his love inside of you, indwelling life inside of you by us when we walk these things out. Man, I can't believe I was being patient in this, or wow, I was actually walking with love and joy and it hasn't happened before. And look at what's that. That's God's spirit living in us. And we're bearing that fruit for others to receive and see. Next one is unity. Everyone say unity. Okay, we're bound together in Jesus, and that thing, it transcends everything else. It transcends race and family, economics, politics, culture, citizenship, all these other things. We're bound to him. That's above everything else. And Jesus says in John chapter 13, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. As we walk with unity, people say, man, those people really love one another. And that's when they begin to see an expression of who God is. It's important that we love one another. Next one is compassion. Everyone say compassion.
Compassion.
As followers of Jesus, we're called to stand in the gap for those who are hurting, those who are poor, oppressed, marginalized, and especially those that don't know who Jesus is. I heard a great story recently about this guy named Jason Brown. He used to play for the Los Angeles Rams, or the St. Louis Rams, and he was a center, and he turned down part of a $37.5 million deal because he felt called by God to start a farm. And he bought this 1,000-acre farm and started to grow food, sweet potatoes, because he said, I want to bring food to those that are hungry. And people thought, you're crazy, man. He goes, no, I'm called by God to walk in with compassion. And it's really cool to see that, to see when, you know what, I'm going to step out of faith. He didn't know anything about farming. He learned farming from YouTube. And he bought this farm and went for it. And he just went, and God's blessing him. He calls it First Fruits Farm, and he's given over 1 million pounds of food to local pantries in the North Carolina area. That's really cool. He has compassion. And some of you might say, well, didn't he play? Like, he played, he was already a millionaire. Like, what? Like, yeah, he had some money, but he also left a lot of money on the table. Because it's easy for a rich guy to do this. Well, try it with the little that you have and see what God does, right? See how God blesses you. He could have continued to play, but he said, I'm going to have compassion on others because God is calling me. I'm going to do this, right? Another one, another aspect of the parallels, physical health and spiritual health, is reproduction and growth. Like, a spiritually authentic life is reproductive. If you and I, if the church is alive, people end up meeting Jesus and experiencing new birth. Right, Luke chapter 12 says this, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. Are we sharing Jesus with other people? And an expression of us being alive in Jesus is, I'm telling people about the one who saved me, who loves me. Right? Next one is emotion and passion. Everyone say passion. Yeah, there's a British pastor, his name's Campbell Morgan. He says, I'm alive, and because I'm alive, I weep, I sing, I laugh, I mourn. It is the dead that have no tears, no laughter, no music, no mourning. Let's not confuse this with emotionalism, but we understand that there's passion and there's joy and there's an expression of that because we understand, we come to grips with the one who brought us salvation, the one who loves us, the one who sees us. Right, so it's expressed in the way that we live out this life, right? Next one is a desire to be holy. Look to someone and say, be holy. I was going to say something else, but I decided not to. Okay. Jesus, he wants us to desire to be holy. He wants us to walk this way. And he talks about that we're clothed in white garments, and this white garment represents purity. He says, I want you to desire purity. I'll have the worship team come on up. We'll close up. You guys are getting, the worship team's starting to get nervous. Like, Angel needs to shut up. The kids' ministry teacher's like, oh, what's happening? The kids are going crazy. I'm almost done. God desires us to, he wants us to desire to be holy, which means that we desire to be like Jesus. Right? Troy said it earlier, we exist here to unleash hope as individuals and as a church, to unleash hope in the Tri-Cities and beyond, because we're loving God and we're loving people and we're living like Jesus. These are vital signs. These are healthy, like I want to be a healthy follower of Jesus. Let's desire these things. And the last one, ironically, speaking of the dead church, we have a willingness to die. Something that is healthy as that we have as believers of Jesus is we're willing to die. We're willing to die for Jesus, experience ridicule and persecution and rejection. We're willing to spend our time and money and abilities for his kingdom. We're willing to die. I know that's a lot. Waking up to do all that God has made us to be. We don't want to just look alive, but we want to be fully alive in Christ. If we're not growing daily, we're dying gradually. Here's the thing. I know what some of you are thinking, and you can raise your hand when I say this. How many of you are thinking, Angel, that is a lot of stuff. There's no way I could do all that. So a lot of us are thinking that. Here's the thing. I can't either. And that's the point. Because if we're doing it in our own strength, it's impossible to do this. Right? Is God setting us for failure? No, the point is that he's calling us to draw close to him. And it's his spirit living in us that gives us life. We cannot live a new life apart from his spirit. He doesn't say, go and do all these things on your own strength. He says, come receive from me, come drink from me, come eat from me, come receive this life-giving spirit that I have for you. And all he asks of you and I is, are you willing? Are you willing? Let's go and stand up. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. This message that John on the island of Patmos wrote to the seven churches is still very relevant to us today. I pray, God, that we keep humble hearts, that we learn to walk in surrender to you. Help us to see all the things that you're, all the ways that you're trying to communicate to us through everyday events, not just on a Sunday morning. Help us to recognize your voice and walk towards you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. For the grace that you give us and the mercy you give us. We're grateful, Lord. Help us not to take those things for granted. We praise in your name. Amen.